Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
And I'm Chemda.
April 15th is my annual stand-up show. Make sure you get your tickets, keithandthegirl.com/tickets. Chemda just read my stand-up.
It's really great.
I appreciate it. I get excited when Chemda goes, "You're really going to say that? Okay, but..."
Oh my God. Okay, I'll call it excitement too, because it's the same like jittery feelings.
today's guest, well, one of your favorites. Appeared on Jeff Ross Presents Roast Battle. Been on True TV, IFC, MTV's Girl Code, College Humor, Funny or Die. Featured in The Village Voice, Time Out New York, The Intero Bank. Your favorite and mine, Christy Cello. Hello, Christy.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here. This is so exciting.
Yeah, everybody loves you. How are you? You're a ray of sunshine.
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. What did you eat today, Christy?
Oh no, I knew you'd ask me this and I totally forgot. Oh my God. Oh, I want to do good. I really do. Oh.
Have you had Subway today? You have Subway
a
lot.
Oh my God, that's right. That, of course, eat fresh.
Right, Subway, yeah. Eat fresh.
Oh, it's my favorite. Oh, you should come with me. It's so much fun.
That was so good. That was really good. I feel like you've been practicing. I did not expect that. Was that the little note you passed her before?
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
What a nice intro. Thank you so much.
You really are a ray of sunshine. In fact, you were late today, you come in with the, "I'm late, sorry, I'm so excited." But look, next thing you know, I'm apologizing. No, I'm pretty sure I'm the one who was late.
I was so panicked.
I'm like the sweetest. I can't just be late.
You do such a good impression.
The thing is I can't look at you the whole time. And I'm just like,
well, if the babies see each other,
it was really awkward.
The universe explodes. Oh, guess which Christy did that?
Me, the real one. Right?
If it was this movie, it'd be, "It's me. Of course it's me. Subway, eat fresh."
I like that he sounds like Mickey Mouse when he does right. Your voice.
Yeah, you really do.
Not to get blue, but do you do dirty talk?
Like, in my real life?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Like, that's all I do.
You mean when I have sex or just...
You're just like hanging out like, "No, I need it." I don't even need the physical touch, just the words.
That's what you mean by going to church, right?
That's right.
I knew it.
Christy has a podcast now. It's called Talking Funny with Christy.
Oh my God.
And on it, you talk about your love of hot dads.
Oh my God.
DILFs. Is this true? Is this really a thing?
I love dads.
What do you love about it?
Oh God, I love... their receding hairlines, the sexy ways they never understand my references.
They're a challenge. That's what you like.
I love dads. I like older guys. And if you like have a kid, you're like kind of well off. So like you can probably support me financially.
Right. Hi. Is that how you think how dads work?
I mean, I don't really know, but like... maybe.
Christy's like, obviously you had a child on purpose with a lot of care and thought. You know, like all the dads we hear about.
Right. There's like something about just like a dad like holding a kid. Like, shut up. It makes me so horny. So horny.
I don't expect that to come out of her face.
Right. So, see, some people say it's the wedding ring attracts people. Children do, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, Christy sees a leash and she's like, "Please don't let it be a dog, please."
I know. Oh, totally.
Do you still go to therapy? Last time you were on, you said your therapist moved to Long Island and you guys would Skype.
Oh my God, I can't even believe you remember that. Yeah. Such good memory.
Well, that's ridiculous. I do.
Wait, the fact that I Skype with my therapist is ridiculous. I don't Skype with her. We did a couple when she left and then kind of fell off. You know, it's funny because we're like Instagram friends and we'll text every so often like happy birthday or how's everything going. Like, but no, I loved therapy though. Like if she were still here, I would for sure go to her. But I think, you know, not that I'm like problem free, but I think I'm like okay for now.
It's interesting, Keith, that you thought that was such a weird thing because I would think that's a good way to hold on to someone.
It doesn't seem like a real connection.
Right. And that's the thing. The thing that with me is like I would have to coordinate when my roommate wasn't going to be home. So it's not like I'm like, she would hear everything I'm saying in my room. Like, it just feels weird.
You have to tell the therapist you have a password. If I start talking about the weather, bail.
Exactly.
I could see that. I could see going on a walk with your therapist so that you're out and about, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah. But then there's like ambulance, fire trucks. That's like true. I've thought of this from like every angle. Like, how do we make it work?
That's true. Yeah.
It was like the most important relationship in my life.
Well,
so
I see on your Twitter, March 27th, I want every couple to break up.
What? I never tweeted such words. I would never.
Christy writes, I had my first appointment with a chiropractor today. I'm in love. His hands were so strong. He has such an alpha and a dominant. He was such an alpha and a dominant. I am horny before noon.
Oh my God, I Googled him afterwards. I forgot to see if he had a wedding band on, and I was like so upset. He's so cute. He's in Astoria.
He could still have kids, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. He was so masculine.
I found out that he didn't really have a child. Oh my God, I was lied to. Christy also tweeted, I would tell a cab driver I'm a murderer before I told them I'm a comedian. Did they ask you to start telling jokes?
Yeah, nightmare. It's yeah. always a mistake. Even if at first they're like, oh, wow, that's cool. You know, they'll always come back with it like 10 minutes later.
Were you on Carson? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, oh, God, kill me.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Gotta roll out.
Depending on the degree that you know someone's job, you have an obnoxious question. So for us, it's not a stand. They either don't really understand what we do. So it's like, okay, let's pass it. As soon as I get that I don't want to talk about it anymore and they're not going to get it, I go, you know, it's on the internet. And they're like, oh, because the internet is still a thing for them. Or they'll get it. And some people who know a little bit about comedy, they're like, did you have Louis C.K. on? And I'm like, yes.
Right.
Go find the episode. Because if I tell you that we had like Doug Stanhope on and Christy Cello and, you know, you're not going to understand it. You're just going to be like, I don't know them.
Right.
Do you really do comedy?
My doctor brings up, he's figuring out more and more what I do.
The scavenger hunt.
Right. I'm just repeating myself.
He's getting
clues. Right. A podcast, but like a radio in an apartment. And now he seems to start to get it. And then he's like, so he's real proud. Like he studied it. He's like, how is the podcast? I'm like, it's still going. He's like, oh, and that's new? I'm like, yeah.
It can be endearing sometimes. Right.
Yeah, but don't worry. Somehow I can pay you. And then this last time on the way out, he said, maybe, you know, I could be on the podcast. And I go, I'll tell you what. You fix my fucking knees.
Oh, yeah.
Then we'll talk. And he goes, okay, deal. I'm like, it's been years now. What am I going to have you on for? He's not a great doctor, but very good with the Vicodin.
Well, Keith, you don't know what he's doing, and he doesn't know what you're doing.
Right.
So, but you have to go into his office for some reason. Maybe he can cure your knees, like, here, you know? But we do get that, like, oh, you do a show, and people, like, invite themselves or a topic on. And it's like, you weren't listening to me at all. And I don't know how they come up with this at all. And then all of a sudden you're rejecting your friends who don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, can you talk about this? It's very important in my life. And I'm like, did you even ever hear this show?
You know what, though? Those people are just nightmares. If you think about it, like, we wouldn't do that with anyone else's job. Oh, I'm a doctor. I'm a teacher. Oh, you should teach this thing. We don't talk like that. So it's like, shut up. Like, a part of me doesn't feel that bad.
I'll say, you know what? We'll have you on tomorrow. And I fake laugh until I'm out the room.
Good one. You're like, yeah, I'll email you.
Right. That sounds great.
What's funny is that doctor of yours doesn't know what he's getting himself into.
Right.
Because you get people in here and you're just like, do you talk dirty with that voice?
Right.
Hi, doc.
Yeah. Right.
Do a little more research before you invite yourself on someone's show.
Yeah, how come my knees don't hurt when I'm having sex, doc? What? Where the fuck am I?
Yeah, I'm not allowed to talk about this.
You just hear a door slam. Right. The engine start on the car.
And that was my doctor. Chuck Woolery used to be my favorite game show host. I believe he hosted The Dating Game for a while. Did a lot of talk shows. He wrote on Facebook, women get vagina hats. But if men wore penis hats, they'd attack us and be outraged.
What hats do we get?
What's a vagina hat?
I want one. What the fuck? Everyone's getting a vagina hat but me?
I assume it's the cat hat.
Oh, God.
I don't know if I know what the cat hat is.
The
I don't want to slow us down. But
there's these hats I don't know about.
But if there's a hat I don't know about, we need to pause.
The knitted pussy hats, like the ones that everyone wore at the Women's March.
Oh, the women. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And what's funny is
the pink Mickey Mouse hats.
So it's not a hat for your vagina. Yeah.
I feel like he thinks that these are now government issues.
Yeah.
And that's why we all have one. What he doesn't know is that people are just knitting.
Right. J.K. Rowling, who I'm liking more and more, wrote, "Every man who feels this way should wear his penis hat with pride." The women that's won't stop good. Us. Yeah.
Good for her. That's a great response.
Do they understand that they're doing the thing, which is why we have the hats?
I'm so embarrassed. My whole life, I didn't know that that was a vagina hat. It's supposed to, like, symbolize a vagina?
Yeah.
I straight up did not know that. I thought it was, like, cute little cat ears or something.
It's, yeah, pussy, you know, but I didn't.
Oh, yeah, that's pussy.
They're saying, like, "Rawr, this pussy grabs back," you know?
Oh, my God. I really got to get one of those.
Because this pussy does.
Here's the thing. I didn't know that until the Women's March, and I'm like, who told everyone? Did I forget the memo about the same hat thing? And somebody had to be like, you know, pussy, and I'm like, oh, God, do I need to know something about my pussy that I'm not aware? Is today some kind of weird, like, I need to get a checkup and it's free somewhere that I'm never going to know? It's my last chance.
This woman looks you up and down. You would have a blue hat.
I get really defensive, talk about how I have HPV.
That's what's fun.
I don't have HPV. What?
What's funny is this guy, Chuck Woolery, who I'm surprised you really liked. I assumed you were really young because he's such a smarmy fuck, right? Like,
I see that.
He has like a weird old school, like, hey, Shooter McGavin, I'm slick. And, you know, so maybe like kids, you know, back in the 80s fell for it or something, and some women who were lonely. But when I saw those hats and I didn't understand it, I knew that I was wrong and needed to take a second and need to ask, not go, what the fuck is with everybody having hats but me? Right. How come I'm not in this?
Yeah, I
how
see,
is that your first response?
I see a lot of men supporting here. Where are the dick hats?
Yeah. How come nobody invited men to this rally?
All hats matter.
Yeah. You're all invited to everything always, and that's why we're doing this, because we're never invited to
anything. We get it, you penis.
Donald Trump is selling t-shirts. Shut the fake up, media.
Oh, my God. I do think that's pretty funny. I'm sorry.
Yes, if he wasn't
like,
our...
Like, it's so fucking stupid that it does make me laugh. Wait, say it one more time.
Shut the fake up, media.
Shut the fake up, media.
You know how the Democrats started with this watch out for fake news? Well, I took it. And now I'm saying, you stop the fake news. Gotcha.
This would be so funny if he wasn't our president.
Right.
If he wasn't actually making money with it, even though he's saying, like, it's not him, it's his estate or whatever he wants to call it today. So it would be very funny. The problem is... It's. I think people believe him because what happens is if you don't know the other side of Trump, like the fact that he's a fucking asshole, you're following what he says and you're actually following. He can seem real to you because the news is fake, because you are getting, you know, contradicting things from one channel to the other, from one Facebook, from one feed to another.
Right.
Yep.
So it's easy to latch on, like, oh, Trump knows what the real news is, when you don't have the other information. So for Trump, our president, to spread propaganda like that, you know, just decide who is real and who's not. And for him to actually get his news from horrible press when he actually has insider information to true real shit is just scary.
And it's also just like none of this is surprising, though. Like,
yeah.
I mean, none of this surprises me.
Sure,
like,
a t-shirt.
I think he could do anything at this point.
Right,
just
t-shirt.
Be like, oh.
A t-shirt's not the worst thing.
No,
right.
Like, of course he's making shirts.
I think we all kept thinking, like, okay, the next dumb thing he says, some higher up has to go, okay, that's enough. All right, and shoo him to the back, or, like, you know, Sandman comes out and, like, gets going. But at this point, we're all like, yeah, he could just say and do whatever he wants because somehow it's justified. And, you know, there's a system in place. And if you didn't like the system before, then we couldn't have elected Obama like that. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Sometimes the system fails and we have to go, you know what? Not this one.
Well, right. Just look outside and just in general, no matter what side of things you're on. You agree most people are idiots, right?
Oh,
so, of course, crazy shit's going to happen. I started Googling something. Is water REA I got to? And here's the autofills. Is water really wet? Oh. Is water really good for you? Is water really blue? Is water reactive? Is water really healthy?
Oh, wow. Is water
questions.
Really wet?
Is it? I don't know.
I get wet and it's not the same fluid. So someone's doing things.
I'm seeing a flat horizon in this so-called round earth. I have a questions about the water now.
That's there was like I had wine the other night and the bartender was like, oh, it's like a really dry tasting wine. And that got to me because I was like, how can this be dry? This is wet as fuck. This is so wet. I just didn't get it.
When I spilled it, he was complaining. What's his problem?
Is it dry? Nothing's dry about this.
By the way, excuse me, speaking of idiots, in Jefferson County in Texas, a morgue worker, somebody was working in the morgue, and he took a nap, and another employee misunderstood and believed that the body was a dead body. Didn't check the toe tag. Just thought nobody would just be sleeping. It must be a dead person.
Where did he take the nap? On the couch? And just anybody who's laying down gets put in?
Or in a drawer.
He's a 48-year-old. He decided to take a nap on a stretcher after working for 16 hours straight. While he was sleeping, another employee mistook him for the corpse of a 52-year-old car accident victim and carried him to the crematory.
So that means he really didn't check.
And this sounds like a lot more interesting of a plot than Sandra Bullock's While You Were Sleeping.
Right.
Like, this is what the movie should have been about.
And the guy's wearing all his clothes, you have to assume, right? Before anyone could notice the mistake, he had already been exposed to temperatures ranging between 1,400 to 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit and reduced to ashes.
No.
So you start hearing scream and then you're like, well, you know, what's done is done.
Oh, wait, he died?
Yeah.
A
coworker says she heard him scream for about 15 seconds after the crematory was activated.
That's long.
Yeah, it's long.
That's long. That's a terrible death.
Oh, my God. I'm really thinking this through. I mean, you can't fault the guy for wanting to nap, but the location of the nap,
right.
I think, was the issue in this scenario.
Put a sign on you.
I'm going to blame...
Go to your car.
The guy...
You're going to blame the other guy for not checking?
You just go and here's a body?
And he's such a silent sleeper, like there's no breathing or heavy noise.
That's true.
He did work a 16-hour shift. One can pass out.
The coworker who caused the accident was a new employee.
Of course he was.
And had forgotten to check for the toe tag to make sure he had the right body.
Not the right toe tag. A toe tag. That's what I'm thinking. Like, they're not just like having bodies everywhere. Also, the body was not cold.
Right.
I mean, I don't think they put makeup on before the crematorium. So here's a dude who doesn't look dead.
The new worker said, you know what? You pay me minimum wage, you get minimum work.
Holy shit.
That's a crazy story.
You know what the worst is? I mean, obviously someone dead and that's terrible. And 15 seconds of right. them screaming and terrified and yes.
Yes, it's bad.
Yes,
but
someone killed someone now.
Yeah.
Like you have to live with your oopsie that you killed someone.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like that's
is
it for
gonna
you.
Is he going to go to like jail?
We don't know yet.
I'm going to.
He could be accused of criminal negligence, but even that.
I think it's hard to not send him to jail because somebody died, you know, but how I don't send him to somewhere where he can't work. And I don't, you know, right. Like where's like a not dangerous job.
And like when the guy was falling asleep, so this other guy must have moved his body.
Yeah.
How did the guy not wake up?
Well, that's the thing. You could be dead sleep. There are people like I can do anything to Hennessy while he's sleeping.
Really?
Oh, God. Yeah.
I fantasized about it.
I just go, I literally just like push it. If he used to have a bigger snoring problem. And so you just have to like, a lot of times when people are on their back, they snore a lot heavier. Yeah. So I would just like physically push him and
he'd sleep through it.
Still sleeping. He wouldn't even remember. I'm like, move over, scooch. And he would like, I would talk to him, nothing. Doesn't remember anything the next day.
I don't know. Yeah. You're a dead sleeper. Don't fall asleep at a place where there's right. dead people.
I imagine he's not like falling asleep at the foot of the fire. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is a safe place.
Right.
You have to take people to that place.
Can you imagine that guy's poor family? All of them.
Yeah.
Bunch of idiots.
We knew you shouldn't have worked there.
Right. Somebody says, man, I was really embarrassed today. I got into an Uber. Guess what? It wasn't an Uber. It was a regular dude's car. I have an embarrassing story too. First day on the job. Follow me on this. I'll make you feel better.
And worst of all, they tuned into this episode and now we're laughing.
That's what happens when people vote for Trump. You know, it's really all comes
back. Okay, new rules. If you're caught up on your work and you're working a double, we have a sign that says, I'm alive, just napping. You have to wear that on your neck. All employees must not kill alive employees.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Their whole, what's that, employee guidebook
yeah.
is now going to have to include different notes while you're sleeping.
Don't put live people in the crematorium.
The crematorium.
And please wear deodorant to work. Thank you.
You know, this is literally a Bob's Burgers episode. I'm not kidding. Oh, they yeah? almost put their dad into the fire.
It's just
because
so
he was sleeping.
It's so deceiving because like crematorium sounds like an awesome place. Yeah. Like a place where you can get like ice cream as a kid. Like, Dad, I want to go to the right. crematorium.
But 15 seconds. What happened at 5 seconds? What happened at 10 seconds?
Maybe a frantic got to get him out. Like maybe there was like, you know.
Or you just think like any second it's going to end. 8 seconds. Shit.
I got
9 seconds.
I think 15 seconds is long when you're in the incinerator, but 15 seconds is like by the time you get up if you're outside. Because you hear horrific screaming, but where I don't think you're coming? Right outside of like the fire. I don't think the employees are sitting around like it's a fireplace and just going like,
yeah,
we're just chilling here.
Well, I don't think you throw somebody in the fire and then go, now I'm going to go get something to drink. You wait until the process is done, I have to assume.
Well, I don't have
know.
To assume.
This is their job. That's what they do all the time.
Right. It's nothing to them.
Nothing.
In fact, they walk away so that their mind is better.
Exactly.
What's that?
They walk away so that their mind is better.
Right.
Yeah. Just another day at the office for these guys.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to take it personally.
You think like he hears the screaming, then he turns around at the cot, then back at the fire. He's like, no way. Oh, fuck no.
Or like 7 seconds in, he realizes and he's like, he wouldn't want me to take him out right now.
Right.
He's just going to keep melting.
Wow.
Because I think even if you weren't fully in the fire, after 3 seconds of that high range of heat,
right.
it's over. You're dead. I don't think 15 seconds counts.
That's fucking crazy. I'm embarrassed that I didn't realize he died until the end of the story because you were like 85,000 million degrees. And I'm like, wow, he's going to have third degree burns. Like not even thinking that like that's not even possible to survive.
You know how we're about 100 and some degrees? This was 1,400.
Like, oh, that's going to give him a pretty bad headache.
That's going to need some aloe.
He's going to need to call out of work.
He might have lost a toe.
He needs some aloe.
What is this? Are you?
That's him burning. 15 seconds.
No.
I'm so, so sorry. Good boy.
Okay, I'll be the other guy.
Yeah.
Shit, it's hot. It's hot.
I was just taking a nap.
Or he's like, I know I'm dreaming and I'm going to control this. Fuck you, fire. God damn, this feels real.
You know what's weird?
I hope he thought it was a dream.
Right? I could see myself thinking that because I actually think of like sleeping on the sun when I'm trying to relax because I actually really like heat and it like the sun relaxes me and it's very, very strange. But I physically put myself on the sun. I'm just like, I wish I could catch fire. I love this so much.
That's fascinating.
I actually wish that we can hold fire because it's just, it makes me so happy. And so if this is the way I go, I'm going to be like, ooh, this is the best meditation ever. It's working. It's yeah. finally working.
She died doing what she loves.
Yep.
Oh God, I wonder what the family's gonna do with that guy's ashes.
All right. Bye, real, you guys. Thanks for having me.
The real question.
Just something I thought about. He was reduced to ashes.
Yep.
He's already, just put him in the, it's only, all ready to go.
It's the only time you have a funeral after the cremation. Yeah.
I don't think they can charge him for that one.
Right.
I think that's the joke I was trying to make. I didn't quite get there.
I'm older.
We're workshopping it.
Here's another fun story.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
This person lives.
Oh, this is about snow.
A substitute teacher came into class. This is in South Carolina, and she was so intoxicated Friday morning that cops had to come and wheel her away.
I mean, they tell those teachers last minute in the morning, so you don't know what happened the night before.
Officers who arrived on the scene said they found a box of wine in the suspect's purse.
She wasn't done.
The box in the purse.
Administrators at Brooklyn Case High School in Case called police around 9:45 a.m. after noticing that the substitute was acting in a manner that suggested she might be under the influence of alcohol. So the administration called the police immediately.
But that's, you know, to call the police on someone who's drunk.
Why just tell her to get out of
here? No, I'm thinking that's
how. Go drive your car and get out of here. Here are the keys. Get out of the parking lot.
How bad does it have to be where, you know, these are all disciplinary jobs, right? Yeah. Like principal, teacher, gym teacher, like all these people are used to handling people who are out of control or can handle it.
Right.
And so, no, we're going to call the authorities on that one.
So she vomited in the classroom, right on the floor.
Oh, my God.
Then she's like, no, seriously, chapter two, read to, hold on.
Swallowed it.
Oh, my God.
Besides the vomiting, she was unable to stand. The school had to remove her from the classroom in a wheelchair.
She's a good time.
They have a wheelchair?
Students say that she was consuming the wine during the class. Oh! She's holding this purse up to her mouth and tilting it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but you know that class wasn't learning. They were definitely watching a movie. That's all substitutes do.
And her lips get redder and redder.
God.
That is, can you imagine the lack of shits she gave to just be drinking in classroom?
She might have shit her pants too. I don't know. I don't know if there's lack of shits.
The officer charged her with disorderly conduct before releasing her to paramedics who took her to the hospital. The school is saying she doesn't necessarily work for us. She's just a substitute teacher. Which, by the way, let's be clear, like I'm just saying, you don't know when they're going to call you. As a substitute teacher. Oh, I'm always on call like 180 days a year? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, but to continue in the classroom.
You haven't called me in months. Today? Yeah. I'm already on the bender.
If I stop now.
If you really fucking want.
Right. Hey, I'm out of work until you call me. So until you call me, I'm drinking.
Right. I'm sorry, what I do on my fuck time is my fuck time.
Hair of the dog.
Right. If I stop drinking, I'll pass the fuck out. And I hear what happens to these people. They burn them.
But can you imagine, you think you had a job in the morning, and who knows where she blacked out or if she did, but you think you went to work and you wake up in jail. Holy shit. Right. I mean, I guess it is like you think you went, it's better than you think you went to work and you wake up in ashes. So,
yeah.
Keith says it is a better one.
It is a better one.
Yeah. Alyssa has a point saying, I was a substitute once. Guess what? You can say no. You just say no.
Alyssa's so smart.
I wouldn't have even looked at that. Right.
I'm sick. I can't come in.
Right.
This might not be a good idea for me or the children I might endanger.
I'm feeling vomitous, you see.
We're all like, oh, they called me and I got to go.
See, right. Alyssa would never do that.
But comics would. I remember Jesse Joyce, while he was still drinking, he's sober now, of course, for years, but he said he crossed state lines while drunk.
And Canada. I don't know if he's allowed in.
Yeah, and I don't know if this was the Canada one or like he crossed Jersey to get to some other, And so he got there and he's not even there. And he said he was able to do his whole set because you get used to a set. And he was able to do his whole set in a blackout because you're just kind of on a thing.
This is why Jesse tells me to do stand-up more than once a year. He's like, one day you're going to be blacked out. And if you don't have it on muscle memory, you'll flounder out there. Trust me.
It's great advice.
Keith is going to test great us all advice by coming in with a wine purse on April 15th.
Right.
It's my fucking job. You called me in.
We put up the poll.
Speaking of which, Keith, when is Kat back? Because Keith is doing, like, you can tell he's exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's because he's like, I don't have to go to sleep. My wife's not here.
I can do anything I want. Not till the 10th. This beard's going to grow down to my, I don't even like it. It's going to be down to my crotch.
Ew. He's punishing himself. He's just like, the cat's away, literally. Let me do all these badass things like, I'm sleeping later tonight.
And grow a beard.
Yeah. I think my wife would like me with or without the beard, but fuck her anyway.
I'm doing it.
You can't stop me from watching Power Rangers.
My remote's on the bed.
Right. I saw another movie last night, The Zookeeper's Wife.
Oh, how was it?
Have you heard of this?
Yes, I have.
It's
you sent me the description and I started reading it and fell asleep. It just sounds boring. What's this?
Well, anything it is with a zoo. We bought a zoo. Mm-hmm. Zoolander, Zootopia. Next.
Zootopia was amazing.
I mean, not Zootopia, but all the other ones.
I couldn't let that one go. I'm so sorry.
No, I didn't even see it. But you know, but no, how did you like it?
Unfortunately, yes. It's it takes place in World War II. And this woman is the zookeeper's wife, and she is hiding Jews from the Nazis in Poland.
Kidding.
Well, there's a
joking.
Sounds riveting. Tell me more.
And they, of course, they don't flat out tell you stuff. You know, you know what's going on, but you know, kids will think it's snowing. Well, it's not snowing. It's the ashes from Warsaw being burned down to the ground.
Ah, oh, fuck.
The zookeeper and the wife. They're not Jewish, so while they're under Nazi control, they can still walk around basically as they please. So there's this part where this Jewish guy, you know, already labeled a Jew, and the Jewish children are going into the trains that are going to take them to the concentration camp, the crematorium, if you will, right? Not a fun place. So anyway, the guy, the zookeeper, is saying, listen, I've been as you know, I've been smuggling kids. I can smuggle you. I'm right behind that fence. And he goes, no, the kids will freak out if I'm not here with them, meaning to die with them. And I'm telling them that we're going to see a great magic show. Oh. And it's very exciting. Now, all the Nazis are watching. So you want to help me put these kids in the train? And so the zookeeper picks up a kid, puts him in a train. And then the next kid comes over and puts his hands up. Like, my turn. And then the guy puts the kid in the train, you know, losing his shit. And another kid comes over. Yay, take me to the party.
No.
Oh, it was the saddest fucking thing.
Oh, and then they all went?
Yeah, and then they're all dead.
Yeah, because that's history. we all know how it ends.
Sounds really uplifting. Yeah. That sounds like a cry session.
Honestly, it is a cry session.
I haven't seen any of these
And it's
movies.
A true story, of course.
Of course. Well, I haven't seen any of these. Even if it's not a true story, it's a true story.
Right.
Like, kids were going on a train to die, whether you told them the truth or not, it doesn't matter. It's a horrific ending. This is why I can't do it. I never saw Schindler's List. I never saw any of the movies beyond that, before that, because for 9 years I was in yeshiva, which is a Jewish school, and all they, like, every, there's always Holocaust talk. There's always, you know, the next Holocaust is coming. Everyone hates us. It's always coming. And so when they started making movies, or when I was aware of, like, the blockbusters that they were making on it, I'm like, why would I go to this movie? It's another depiction of the horrific, terrible thing that happened. Now with, like, you know, actual human beings that I'm watching their full story. I get what happened. I don't know how to watch these movies.
But are you glad they're out there? For example, I am. I think people do need to be reminded. Like, I knew what happened. I went to the Holocaust Museum, etc. But, oh, here's just a different angle at the exact same thing. I think it's good it's out there. I Am Not Your Negro had just a different angle but the exact same point of the movie 13th. I think these things are great that they're out there.
Of course. Of course. I'm not saying this to make everyone else's decision. I'm saying why it's hard for me to go because it's hard for me to put myself in, like, I'm going to the movies, which, you know, do we get popcorn for that movie?
Right.
You know, and I watch 13th, and I want to watch all these movies that are, you know, showing me historical facts in a honestly digestible way, because they did all the research for me and they put it in this wonderful thing. And yes, it does educate me, whether, of course, we know that Black people are discriminated against, they're treated terribly, and they are still slaves. And but it kind of it just takes just that much more ignorance off of you. But I can't do it with the Holocaust stuff. I can't.
It's misleading to put
zoo
put zoo in the title.
I love zoos.
What does it have? You know. I don't want to, it's not important what happened to the zoo, but you hear a zoo in a title, you think this is going to be about fun.
I think.
And animals.
And it starts out fun. It's a very prosperous zoo, and it's, hey, good morning, how's everybody doing? She knows all these animals by name, and you're very friendly, and then it tricks you. Some bombs drop, and there's bad news.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What a short, fast run those Nazis had, too, by the way. Just a couple years. So they hide these... They hide kids. They had hundreds of people in this zoo, but the way they do it
they
dress them up as animals. So
you're lying.
So a Nazi caught this cow because it started going in two opposite directions. They're like, no think so. Yeah.
Great accent.
I don't want to scare anybody.
Me no think so. Like dirty Mexican.
Is that a camel or five kids? Me no think so.
That's the catchphrase of the movie.
You ever think if you would be that heroic? Like, you think that you would have to.
Yes.
You have a zoo. You have the capacity to hide hundreds of people. But, you know, you could be just free and clear if you don't do it. You're not a Jew. But don't you want to think of yourself as the person who would do that?
Yeah. You have to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I for sure would.
Well, you're blonde. Yes. You're the biggest cover up we have.
I'm your only hope. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I like to think that.
Yeah.
We'd be the one, you know, to help. And, you know, I'm a really good person, so.
I don't see myself not doing it.
I mean, is there a zoo involved? Of course I'm in.
By the way,
I was already hanging out at the zoo anyway.
speaking of animals, we were talking the other day. How did the story come? Oh, Ohio finally has anti-bestiality laws.
Finally.
No, we shouldn't leave this up to the federal government. It's a state-by-state decision if you can fuck a dog.
Well, if the animals want to lobby, they can lobby. And eventually, law passes.
And the punishment in Ohio can be up to 90 days in prison.
If you have sex with an animal?
Yeah, I said it should be death.
Oh, 100%.
Well, thank you, because on this poll on our forums, I was the only one that said yes. That's so sick. What are you weirdos going no for? No, but I mean, the one-time mistake. Death. You fuck a cat. Death.
Yeah. I won't miss them. Yeah. I believe in the death penalty, and I think that they should get it.
You know what? I got 90 days in jail. I realized my error, and then I got out and solved cancer.
Well, here's the thing with that, though. It's like they're going to plead, like, oh, they're not well. They're insane. They should be institutionalized.
Okay, then institutionalize them.
Oh, so don't kill them. Just institutionalize them.
Don't let them out in 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
And obviously, and this is a fact, these animal fuckers, it's almost always related to pedophilia as well. They also fuck children.
I never heard of that. But here's why I'm conflicted on this, because, you know, these animals are being harmed. You know that you can't have sex with animals because they can't say yes. So they're saying no. So and they don't have a choice in this, so you're fucked up. But yes, they are mentally something, right? And because we don't have a cure for this, I don't even know how our psychological evaluations, how advanced they are on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so you can't promise this person a cure. You can't promise that they'll never do it again, because I don't know if they know how to have control over it. So I don't know enough about this crazy disease.
I know enough. And we need a giant Spartan well in the middle of every town. Get the fuck out of here, dog toucher.
I watched a lot of Law and Order Special Victims Unit, so I know a lot about pedophilia and, like, you know, rapists from that show, because it's really educated me. And there's a lot of characters on the show who are pedophiles, but, like, it's almost like being, like, an alcoholic. Like, they're always, even if they're not doing illegal things, like, with kids, they're still pedophiles. Like, it's a disease.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I know no one else can control it is the thing.
Right.
So you can have an alcoholic and they can stop drinking and then you just have to trust that that's going to keep happening. Right. But there's no cure for it.
Totally.
So what the fuck do we do?
Can you imagine you get better but you're still a mess? You're a dry kid fucker?
Mm. Oh, God.
It's like, hey, don't lash out on me just because you're not fucking kids.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're cured.
What a terrible lot in life. You know what I mean? Know. What a terrible thing that you are attracted to the thing that will absolutely 100% mess with that person.
Appia on the forums is saying, I'm against fucking animals. Don't do it. Bad. Here is my problem, she continues. Let's take a cow. With this law, you would be killed for fucking a cow. But killing a cow and eating it equals fine? Even delicious. Pretty sure the cow didn't give the consent.
Oh,
having the choice, shit. I would rather be fucked than killed and eaten. But that's maybe just me.
Now, first of all, yes, until you got to, yes, please rape me before you kill me. I would opt for that just rather than killing. I don't, that got weird. I don't, because rape by definition is something you don't want. Okay.
You're telling me, Appia, that if you caught me fucking a cow.
You'd say, hey,
are you eating that?
At least you're not eating the cow. I mean, the cow that you would rather see me put my dick in a cow than personally put the bolt through the cow's head that kills it.
See, but I think her point, to like piggyback on her point, there could be a point there if I say this, I think. Okay, it's not that cows lead wonderful lives and then we kill them mercilessly, you know, like we just make it happen and then we eat them because this is how we survive. It's that we treat animals like garbage and their whole lives are, you know, if it's not rape, it is just a terrible lifestyle that we decided because of the demand of how much meat we're going to eat, that's how they should live. So why aren't we caring about that? We're caring about dogs. We care about the way people mistreat dogs, but we don't care about the way people mistreat chickens because we might not get to eat chickens. I think that's more her point.
I think that's
a more reasonable point. Like, you know, people fight PETA fights, and I think they do go too far, but PETA fights, like, don't wear fur or don't kill for this and don't kill for food. We don't need it anymore. And why don't they have a point?
Right. I see what you're saying.
Appia walks in. I'm fucking an ostrich. I'm not eating it.
God, I can never please you.
By the way, speaking of movies, I'm reading this from a small town newspaper. Ghost in the Shell, a live action remake of the Japanese anime classic, stars Scarlett Johansson in skin tight latex. There's also a story, PG-13.
Nah, is that an official?
It's a newspaper. Ugh. The Boss Baby, in a surprisingly sweet animated adventure tale, Alec Baldwin plays a tyrannical infant, sort of like he does on Saturday Night Live, PG.
You know what this reminds me of? Do you ever read the Netflix summaries for movies?
Oh, yeah.
Right? They are the worst.
Yeah, they're so not helpful.
I'm like, no, I thought I liked this movie. And like now when I recommend it to someone, they're going to read like, oh, they start off the worst even. Like in a world where girls can be girls or whatever garbage that like we read a long time ago and we've moved on from this horrible, horrible way of describing anything. And then I'm just like, I don't know if to like this movie or not because if it was my movie, I'd be like, do I have a say? They're obviously not asking anyone who has to do with the movie.
Yeah.
I think there's a job for a Netflix person to just summarize it. And I don't think it is a requirement for them to watch it first.
Well, the slasher movie.
I believe you. Some of them are so off.
Yeah.
The slasher movie I was in, She's Crushed. It's under romance.
Wait, really?
I believe it. I'm telling you now, if you haven't paid attention and you're it happens the most when you're searching through Netflix because you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to get like any kind of information, screen cap that shit. You have to, like, if you'll note it's the worst.
All right. Well, it's the first Wednesday of the month. And you know how we do this. The first Wednesday of every month. It's Star Trek Moral Question of the Day featuring Hemda.
All right. I started watching Star Trek, The Next Generation. It is amazing.
I've never watched it.
Totally fine. I would have been making fun of me right now. So now that like, it, first of all, my segments start with apologies for anyone I've ever made fun of for watching Star Trek. Apologies to
but,
you.
But Star Wars lovers, fuck you. She didn't get there yet.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. So, I'm in stars. Okay, right.
I'm in stars.
I don't learn lessons.
Right, but this Star Trek, it's Shakespeare. It's the second coming.
It's all the comings. It's so good. Okay.
You ever masturbate to it?
No. You know what? There's really nothing to masturbate. Because I'm telling you, all this... This is my, anytime I come up with a moral dilemma in Star Trek, because it's usually beautiful. They really consider all of people's, you know, brains and how they work and interact, and they really work it out. And it's a beautiful philosophy class, right? But except for sex, the sex on this show is so fucking weird. The rapes that happen that just go, I guess that's what happens in space, is fucking bananas.
International law.
On a show that's so like... moral and ahead of its time and like just beautiful. Okay, here's what happened. Dr. Crusher, who everybody loves, but Dr. Crusher.
No one loves Dr. She's so annoying, her and her brat kid.
Oh, no, you're wrong. Okay. Everyone loves Dr. Crusher.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the other doctor that was there for like one season that I actually love, but controversial. We'll get to that another time.
Not till next Wednesday. Yeah, sure. Next month.
Dr. Crusher falls in love with an alien, but aliens can be with each other if you're humanoid, for example. So you look a little different than human, but you're compatible sexually, right? So she falls in love with this guy, mm-hmm. and she's only known him for like 2 weeks. She's questioning it, and you know all the things, same things, but they're really vibing, right? I don't like the guy, but whatever. To each their own. So then it turns out this guy is not that humanoid. He is. Actually a creature, you know, and he's just using that body as a vessel.
Oh.
Okay. Now he's got to switch vessels because this vessel is not working for him anymore. So now she did not know that. So she's like, well, fuck, I thought I was, you know, attracted to this person and like sleeping with this person. Now I'm going to have to deal with whatever vessel, meaning another body, and whether she's going to be attracted to that or not. The body that volunteers, because they're not close enough to a place where like he can get an extra body, is Riker, mm-hmm. who is the second in command on the ship, meaning this woman has to work with this guy. It's like if it was, you know, I don't know, Danny when he was here and my person is in Danny's body. I'm not going to go for it. That's just fucking weird.
Where's Riker go? Where's his insides go?
So they put the creature in his insides and they use the insides as a host. So it's okay. It's compatible for a little while, but then
yeah,
they're going to have to take it out of Riker. I mean, it's advanced medicine. You have to go with that part, right? So now this creature is in Riker and she's having conflicting thoughts because they're still a couple and that's still the creature. And so if you're, you know, forward thinking, then it's still that guy, right? Now in a different vessel. But it's Riker. It's my friend. And he volunteered for this position thinking like this dude is going to die unless he has a vessel until we reach this next thing. I'm volunteering. I'll be this person even though it's going to hurt me and like, you know, it's a lot to go through and I might die. They still fucking kiss and I think it's insinuated that they have sex in Riker's body. You borrowed my body to not kill this person. And then you fuck while he's in me because it's not me, it's him. Moral dilemma. Nuh-uh. No, I did not give you my body to fuck my friend with. No, I did not. Yes? No?
How about just this alien's a fucking liar and that's the end of it?
He's not a liar. He does move. And at the end...
That's nuts.
Right?
It's so... I'm very interested now.
Right. So now Riker was just the vessel until they get him like a real vessel that works for him more long term. Turns out, so she's like, okay, if I'm able to get over it when it's Riker, I'll be able to get over it maybe when this other body, the other body is a woman now.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so even more controversial, especially at the time. And so she's like, she dealt with it really well. She says, you're moving too fast for me. I don't know how to switch that. Unfortunately, my human brain is not advanced enough, but I wish I was. So
are they over?
They're over. But to me, the moral dilemma is, are you allowed to use Riker's body to even kiss this person?
Are you allowed to use Riker's body? Honestly, God, I'd rather go to a zoo than...
is this not...
I'd rather get on that train.
There's kind of this train of thought, and then there's a train to sweet release. I don't know. I wish him luck.
That's hard.
Hard? No, you don't do it. If you lent me your body so that my friend could survive and then I had sex with it.
I lent you my body so that my friend could survive and then you had sex with someone using my body.
Yes.
I don't know if I'd be that mad.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay.
Do I still nice orgasm?
What do I get out of it?
Here's the thing. Do they tell him or does he just wake up with a wet dick? Like, what is that?
I don't know.
What if you woke up and you're like, I think I had sex?
I'd be like, I need to know.
Right. That's bananas. I'd be like,
you go, girl. I'm doing a quiet check.
How many more seasons do you have?
We'll have more Wednesdays.
I'm putting out a petition that there's no more Wednesdays. I need you guys to go to change.org. We're getting rid of first Wednesdays of each month.
This isn't blowing your mind?
Somehow I'm together.
I really like it. That sounds nuts.
I just saw the fucking Nazi movie last night. This isn't going to throw me.
That's true.
I'm watching kids die and I'm next. Oh. An alien went to a... Okay, did the alien go to a...
The thing is they keep showing us aliens, but it really is about us.
Yeah, people. Different nationalities. I do have exciting news.
You're the worst.
April 22nd is Record Store Day, and one of album that Hemd is featured on, Conjure One, is being released.
Yeah.
So if you're into the LPs, where you get that crisper sound.
So cool.
This is beyond cool. Let me just express it for a second because I'm on April 22nd, I don't have a record player, but I will be going to a record store and taking the goofiest picture of me with this record. I'm on this record. I don't know how many songs there are. I don't remember, like 8 or 9. I'm on 4 of them. Oh my God. Another one or two Poe did. I don't know if people know Poe at this stage in our lives. And Sinead O'Connor is on it. And this is the album that I toured on before. It's music. It's the first time I got paid royalties for songs that I wrote. They flew me out to Canada to record this. Like, it's the same record label as Sarah McLachlan. It's just, I got to go to, what's Sarah McLachlan's festival?
Lilith Fair?
Lilith Fair because of it. Because of this album.
You own 4 puppies that she couldn't sell?
In the arms of the angels. See? That. And, I got flown out to London for a week to, like, do writing sessions with people over there because of this. Like, this was a huge thing. And it's a huge thing even if all those other things didn't happen. And here's what happened recently. Because of the tumor that was in my chest and between my heart, they had to cut a cord in me that froze my diaphragm. So my diaphragm is no longer working. And I've been working on these particular songs because they're the hardest for me to sing. And I'm able to sing them now. Which is a huge thing since my surgery.
Congratulations.
And thank you. It's huge. It's like a worry for me. I cried over it because to a lot of people, they know me as a podcaster now. But before this, I really sang. Like I did things. And it was so to find out that something that naturally came to me is now sort of like cut off because of this thing. It was really good to work through that because I was like running out of breath and everything. And so I'm in a much better place now. And because of that, before I knew about this vinyl thing, I was like, I'm going to reach out to the producer of this, which is Reese Fulber. And you might know him from Delirium for some of the, he worked with Sarah McLachlan also on a very famous song, blah, 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 whatever. I wanted to reach out to him and say, hey, I just went through this tumor thing and I'm like on the other side of it and I could fucking do this thing and I keep thinking about working with you and I want to do a whole album with you. And before, right before I reached out to him, he reached out to me. Hey, this Conjure One thing is going to go vinyl. And like they want your permission to like release it and all this shit. And I'm like, well, I was going to reach out to you. Would you like to do an album together? And he was like, I'm into it. I'll work on sending you some stuff. Now, I haven't heard since. And this is why part of this is like so important to me is I think he does want to work with me. He's never said anything and didn't like follow through. But I think if we show him that it matters to people that I sing again, I know this is very corny, but like, you know, if you no Conjure One or you want to support this, please do this on April 22nd if possible. If not, do it anyway and also take
a picture.
Pick
up the album.
Pick up the album and also take a goofy picture of yourself with it. Tag me, tag Conjure One, tag Reese Fulber, tag its network, spelt funny, is the record label. And maybe they'll be like, holy shit, we really need to do this and it'll speed up. Do you know what I mean?
So fucking cool.
Right? And at the same time, holy shit, this is coming out. Apparently a record is now gets more sold than like CDs and downloads and everything because people are collectors. And I just think it would be so cool that something that I did is in people's homes as part of their record collection.
I have an advanced copy. Do you want to hear a little bit? Okay, here's the start of it.
Ah, come on. Oh my God. Oh my God.
And for those who don't know Conjure One, for those who like, it is actually a really good album.
A great album.
If you smoke, it's a super good album. And so when we were on tour one time, when I got off stage, this woman came up to me and she was in tears and she's like, I listened to your song over and over again when I was going through this thing and she shared this thing with me. This woman had head to toe glitter, which I'm highly allergic to in my mind. I big hugs with the glitter. This is what this music means to me.
Oh, wow.
I will hug people with tons of glitter on them, even though I gotta go on the fucking tour bus after this and I'm just gonna spread it around like herpes.
That's so amazing.
So for those who don't know me, as a person who sings, check it out because iTunes will give you just a piece of it. And if you look up Conjure One and there's a re-release of the vinyl on record day. That's amazing. So it'll give you the information of which ones I'm on and you can test it. And if you like it, please participate.
There you go.
So cool.
Thank you.
So fucking
it's,
cool.
Like I it's about me. I'm like, this is so cool. This is so wait, I'm not the one who's supposed to say this is cool. Hold on.
That's insane. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing in my life. Like I had to submit a lot of songs and some were rejected and some were taken to something else to see. And like, it was a really incredible process, but I was sitting down at Planet Thai, which was my favorite place at the time. And they sat me down and said, we're accepting this song. And I was like, don't cry, you're an adult. You're an adult, this is a business meeting. They're telling you that they're about to pay you money. And I'm like, don't cry. But oh my God.
That's huge.
Amazing.
Did you have a feeling they were gonna accept that song?
No, I don't. I had never written to music like this. Wow. I had never really listened. They opened me up to that genre of music too. I started listening to more music like that. And it's just like, it was so incredible. My voice was completely gone when I first, there's so many stories about this. It was such a very prominent time in my life. The word's not prominent, but it was very memorable, very intense feelings. Yeah. So Conjure One, April 22nd. It's 2 days after you blazed like a motherfucker. I think I'm going to do acid on 420 this year. But anyway, 422. I'll be over it by then. I'll see you at the record store.
See you at the record store.
If you go to Chemda.com, by the way, Chemda, you can click on music and see the different stuff she's been in.
Oh, nice.
FIFA, The Game.
Oh, yeah. They asked me for permission and I,
what?
Yeah. And now I'm on FIFA, like as part of the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking awesome.
Oh yeah. Baywatch played the song and I get like shitty little residuals from it. Like I'll see, you know, like it'll play and it's like 15, it plays for like no time. So I get like 15 cents here and 15 cents there. And I'm like, oh, Baywatch is playing again.
I'm just on that for the movie. Fingers crossed.
Right.
Christy Cello, the Twitter account is Christy Cello, ChristiCiello. The website is ChristyCiello.com. And the new podcast is Talking Funny with Christy.
Thank you so much. That's all correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
It checks out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, everybody. Don't forget, the stand-up show is April 15th. The marathon is the very next day. April 16th.
KeithandTheGirl.com/calendar will give you all the information. You can also, when you share that on your Google Cal, you know, you could like click it on and click it off. So it's not even going to be in your way.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.